Welcome to Four Chicks Chatting, a womanish podcast that will engage, excite, and empower you as we chat about business and personal development, all with a healthy dose of humor. And now it's time to check in with our chicks, Kathy, Kristen, Mary Fran, and Robin.
Welcome back to another episode of Four Chicks Chatting. We're your four chicks here today, and if you are able to see us on YouTube, you get the visual of the four chicks. And if you're just listening, you might be happy about that because the visual isn't what you wanted today, to see all of us four chicks bright and shiny in our recording session today. So thank you for tuning in again. Today we are talking about the lies we tell ourselves. Let that one sink in for a moment there. We are our own worst critics sometimes, huh? And I'm going to start us off with a quote from Rudyard Kipling. And this kind of is my take on this, so I'm steering this a little bit in the beginning, and then we'll go on a wild ride with it. But he says, of all the liars in the world, sometimes the most are our own fears. That's what I feel like is why we tell ourselves a lot of these lies about whether we can or can't do something, all that kind of stuff. It's rooted in fear of what we feel like we maybe shouldn't accomplish, don't deserve to accomplish, those kinds of things. And I know we've talked before about some stuff with Brene Brown that I'm hoping Mary Fran will dive us into with her take on all of this. But let's open it up about the lies we tell ourselves and where that comes from.
So Kristen, I think you're right. I think fear is a huge component of being honest or not being honest. And I think it crosses all sects of our life in terms of just life in general, happiness as well as success.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, you know, I think we all have an image of ourselves and our place in the world for better or worse. And sometimes we're comfortable with that image and that place that we are, or we're not comfortable with it, but we have surrounded ourselves with lies that keep us in that place, again, for better or for worse. And I think that part of it is redefining who you see yourself as, who you want to be, and then breaking through the reasons why not, which are often the lies that we tell ourselves. The why nots are the things that keep us in place. And they are, you know, they're often lies. Well, I can't do this because blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't have the time. I don't have the smarts. I don't have the money. I don't have the whatever. So I think that that's a big part of it. And I think here was the other thing that we were talking about this before we started recording. There's an element of shame that's attached to lying. And I found this to be really interesting. This past week, my granddaughter was here. Two of the grandbabies were here. And my granddaughter took a toy into the kitchen and broke it. And I know she broke it because she was the only one in the kitchen. And it was whole when she went in and not whole when she came out.
I thought grandmas didn't see or know anything about
things. We see everything. We're just much more selective about what we call them on because we don't really care as much anymore. And really the only reason I cared about this was because she lied when I asked her who broke it. She said her little brother broke it. Now he was in the room with me. He did not.
Nailed.
So I went on to explain what lying and all that was. And it was interesting because at first I thought she was ashamed and that was why she lied. And Robin had brought up a good point, and she said, well, maybe she was afraid she was going to get in trouble. So I think there's all of that stuff goes into this. And Brene Brown talks about shame keeping us in place. And I think that's something we really have to be careful about when we tell ourselves these lies. Are we telling them because we're ashamed of where we've been? We're ashamed of who we think we should be and aren't? And that's why we say the I can't, I won't be able to kinds of things. I don't know. It's a swirling around in my head. Somebody else jump in here because I'm talking too much.
you had a lot to say there, Mary.
I did. I unfortunately usually do.
We'll give everybody a chance to digest that. But I think, Mary Fran, just as a quick answer to that, is I think it's easier. Isn't it easier to sometimes go to the negative than to actually try and fix something?
Yes, because that requires work.
Yeah, and I a lot of us shy away from that, but not me, because I found the quote for today, so I did some work. Okay.
Showing up like a boss.
Right? Every lie is two lies. The lie we tell others and the lie we tell ourselves to justify it.
Ah.
Ouch. So, Mary Fran, I'm going to come back to you a little bit and use one of your dirty words. And everybody, if you haven't read the book of Dirty Words by Mary Fran Bontempo, download now, run to the Doylestown Bookshop as fast as you can, but pick this book up. It'll change your life. But one of the words that you put in there, Mary Fran, is fine.
Mm. Yes.
And how many times do we say, it's fine. I'm fine. No, it's fine. And then you justify that fine by saying, you know what? Yeah, it's fine that I have to do this for you. I really don't have the time to do this for you today, but I'm going to do it. And it's just fine. And it's screwing up my entire day and I'm absolutely miserable and I'm crying, but it's fine. So I could justify the hell out of it, but
yes, fine can anymore. Be a huge lie. You are right. Fine can mm-hmm. be a huge lie that we tell ourselves that keeps us in place because somehow we're managing. We're not happy. We're not doing what we want to do, but we keep telling ourselves it's fine.
So do you think that a lot of this is rooted in, I mean, the lies we tell ourselves and the stuff that you guys are talking about right now that we have to say that we're fine is because we were brought up or we're in a world that says we have a certain role that we have to be in, and whether we like it or not, we have to be in that. And then we end up telling ourselves, sure, I'm fine because I'm going to do everything for you because I'm supposed to do everything for you. I'm supposed to be the nice one and say yes to everything when I really don't want to, and then I end up miserable. Maybe that's part of it, that it's rooted in what we were told we were supposed to be. And when we want to break out of that, then we can't. Maybe that's where we end up getting stuck in those lies, telling ourselves that we can't accomplish something outside of what others thought that we would accomplish type of thing.
I think that from a very young age, people think that, like you said, there's supposed to be something, whether they've been taught that or whether they've just learned that from watching the world go on around them and watching other people. But I think that especially for teenagers now with all of the social media access, there's a lot that these kids see and they think they have to be that. And instead of just being themselves, the lies become natural because they want to appear as something they really aren't because they don't have the confidence in who they are to just be. And so one little lie becomes a slightly bigger lie and a slightly bigger lie after that. And it just builds.
I think social media is a lie. I mean, we've said this before, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's you, people show you what they want you to see. And we've said that so many times before. I agree with that. But Kristen, actually going back to your point, one of the things that struck me when you were talking about that idea of having to be nice, which by the way, Kathy, thank you for bringing up the book. That's another dirty word in the book. I think one of the wanting to break out makes us ashamed because we're supposed to be the nice girl. We're supposed to want to be live lives of servitude, I think. We're supposed that we were trained at being the nice girl and all that. So I think that going back to that whole idea of fine again, too, we do those things because we're ashamed to not want to do them. We feel like we're mm-hmm. supposed to be that.
So there are three questions that I'll pose, or I guess statements that I'll say that I think everyone experiences in their lives. And like I said before, it's life, happiness, and success that people have lies within their life. And one is, I need X to feel Y. So I need more money to feel happy. I need a bigger house to be happy. I need a better husband to be happy. you know, the list can go on and on and on. And then you come to that point where, and I'm not saying I do this, but I think it does happen a lot, is that the world owes me something. Mm-hmm. If I do this, then you know, the world owes me something, or I deserve this. And that's one of my, I hate that phrase, you deserve it. Because really, why would I deserve something that someone else doesn't deserve? I mean, if I've worked really hard for something, then yes. But I think it's a big fat lie to say I deserve that when I haven't worked my ass off to accomplish it or to earn it. And then the third thing is when people say there's nothing I can do. Well, I'm not successful because there's just nothing I can do. I'm in a hyper-competitive space and there's nothing I can do. And that, I think that phrase crosses over not only in business success, but in relationships, mm-hmm. as well as changing from past experiences to who you are today. And I think I've said this to you and Kristen, I think maybe we said this in another episode where, you know, you guys could have chosen to kind of wallow in self-pity over, you know, the blind sons, the drug addict, Kathy, losing your mom at a young age. But the reality is you make a choice to move on versus telling yourself, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. So let's just let it be. So I think those are three big things that people tend to get inundated with, and they lose sight of what's true and what's real, and they let the lies.
Robin, I love that. You, I don't know, anybody watching at home, you can see my shoulders creeping up because I hate that. Deserve. I deserve this. It brings that sense of entitlement.
Yes.
I absolutely cannot stand, especially if you're not putting the work in. So people, I think, tell themselves these lies that, well, I deserve this because I blah, 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 I blah, blah, blah. But they didn't really do anything to earn it, but they feel entitled to it. And then I think what you're also saying is I can't do something because then they play the victim. So you can either play I'm entitled or I'm the victim. Mm-hmm. I think social media also perpetuates that for sure.
Yeah. Dave, my husband's a soccer coach at Gwinnett Mercy University at their men's team, and he actually put on their practice shirts "Entitled to Nothing" as a mantra because of exactly what you're saying, that there's this mentality that you're entitled to something. And I think with most, and I don't want it to be too general here, but I think most of us women don't necessarily feel that. I think we go to the opposite, that the other thing that you were saying, Robin, well, I can't do anything about this because this is my, you know, my state in life or whatever, mm-hmm. or I have to take care of this person or I have to take care of that person. And I think that, at least for me in my life, has been more the thing that's kept me stuck, that I tell myself these lies that I'm responsible for everybody else. That's another thing I think women fall into that trap, that mm-hmm. we tell ourselves the lie that we have to fix everybody's everything. And what it really does is distract us from fixing our own things.
It's that phrase, it's my cross to bear.
Oh, gosh.
Which I hate, because I think if you have any sense of positivity in your bones at all, you can always find a solution. There is never, ever a time where you literally have to say, there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah. Now, that's not true. There are times when you can say that, and you have to then take on, okay, you know what? That person has made these choices, and they're living their life the way they want to live their life, and I really can't change that. I can give them advice. I can help them along the way, but I can't take on the ownership or responsibility for them or their actions. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess, but I think it kind of goes both ways. Like, there are certain circumstances where you may be able to do things, but you have to recognize which are those situations and which are not. But I think generally speaking, outside of those circumstances where it's completely out of your control because it involves someone else.
And most things
We always have a solution that is available to us.
When I think that one of the things that you bring up here is one of the biggest, Kathy's going nuts over the word deserve and all that. It's for me, it's the victim. It's that victim mentality. Mm-hmm. And I wish that this world would we need a big tipping point to stop everyone, the media, everybody likes to broadcast the victim story and not the hero's journey. And I don't know what happened in this world that we stopped sending out the hero's journey as opposed to always the victim stuff now. And I just can't stand. And I will say the whole cross to bear. I think that there's a, when you own your cross to bear, that's okay, that you know it, this is your cross. But the next step of that's the core of your hero's journey. And what are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. You know, that you're not going to stay stuck in victim.
Kristen, that's, I'm so happy that you said that, because I was going to say that about you, that you, if anyone, could play that victim card based on, you know, the diagnosis of the boys being blind. And you took that and turned it into their hero's journey and your hero's journey with your work at allowing them to live an extraordinary life and trying to go after that for other people. So you have really personified and epitomized that whole thing that you were just talking about.
Well, and thank you for that. But truth be told, I didn't start there. But,
no, but yeah, but that's the beauty of it. Don't you think that's the beauty of it, that you were able to take that and recognize that I am not going to live as a victim. Everybody starts out when something happens to them as a victim.
Sure, it's a human condition.
True. Right. True. True. But I think, and I know we always come back to this, it's just important, is the tribe and the people that you associate with. And what is that saying, that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with? I had crafted a life because my parents set it up for me first, and then I continued, positive people around me, a strong faith, looking for answers. You know, I was a teacher, so I was looking for lessons in things. So I think that's why my hero's journey was able to go to the level it was, and I didn't take so long in the victim role because I had all those other pieces in place. And I think that, you know, for those listening that might be stuck in telling themselves lies and it's not working out for them, take a look around, and who are you associating with? Are you stuck in a victim mode? And start utilizing some resources to get out of there.
You know, I think sometimes people look at experiences and they say, what did I do to deserve this? And they think that life is happening because they did something wrong, which is another lie. But what I really believe is that, like in your situation, Mary Fran's situation, you both have had, through your negative experiences, you have had opportunities to help other people deal with a situation they wouldn't have otherwise known how to deal with. And I learned that lesson when my father passed away, because I didn't have any idea of what people were going through when they lost a parent or someone very, very close to them. And through that process, I was able to then help other people. I could recommend books on hospice care. I could, you know, talk to them about what to expect when someone is at the end of their life from cancer. You know, talk all those different things and the emotions that go along with that. Before, it's easy to say, oh, I know what you're going through. Oh, really? You've been through this? Mm-hmm. You lost your father too? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's identifying with what's happening and then using that to then help others who are experiencing something similar.
Yeah. And I think part of that too is that you have your story now. You know that how that impacted your life and all of the, you have such compassion for mm-hmm. other people and then can tell them, you know, it really is your story. How do you want this to go next? And Brené Brown, Mary Fran, talks about what stories telling ourselves, what story is in there that isn't, and she even says, is it in, what was her latest one that we were talking about before? Is it Rising Strong? That she talks about
braving the wilderness.
Braving the wilderness.
I can't remember if it was Rising Strong or Braving the Wilderness, where she talks about, she even said to her husband, the story, he did something and she was freaking out. And she says, the story I'm telling myself is, and then he says, that's not what's happening at all. Here's what really happened. She's like, she had him like, you wanted me dead in the lake. You want, like, it was this whole big crazy thing. And he's like, no, I just didn't get up on time. You know, it was something like that, right? But yeah, that it's what story are you telling yourself? And then we can add to help in the tribe, help that person out of that victim role with the story they're telling themselves by our experiences with our own stories and sharing, which is a whole nother episode, I guess, we should do on why we should share our stories.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm really going to jump out.
I think you're right. You're totally on point about that. That whole idea of telling ourselves something and making that become our truth when it's actually not our truth and it's mm-hmm. holding us back. And, you know, you've said this before, we all have. Sometimes you need that tribe to say to you, no. Like in that instance you talked about, it was Brené Brown, but other times we need people in our lives that go, no, you're delusional. That is not what happened.
You say that all the time, Mary Fran. Yeah. The D word that you always say to me, delusion.
Yeah, we've all been that.
Well, yeah, But the point being that we do all tell ourselves those lies, and you need somebody to pull you back and go, that's not the way it went, or that's not true. That is not your truth.
Well, yeah. And the past does not dictate your future.
Right.
So if you're going to be completely honest with yourself, you have to be able to move forward.
And any set of circumstances can allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. And I think most people find, as awful a truth as this really is, most people find that it is those negative circumstances, if you own them and choose to, are the things that can move you forward the most. They really are, because they're the things we grow from.
So we've kind of talked about this in a way that was like the lies we tell ourselves in terms of, well, how can I phrase this so that it makes sense? I'm just going to say this. I think we also lie to ourselves that we're not good enough. We're not pretty enough. So-and-so is better than me. Well, that coach is growing their business, so that means they're a better coach than I am. I'm not worthy of clients because I'm not as good as they are. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. And I think anytime you're in a business situation or life, you know, you can look at people and say, oh, their marriage is so great and mine's so awful. And mine is not awful. I just want to clarify that. I adore my husband. He adores me.
Somebody mute her.
These are all hypothetical, totally hypothetical phrases here. But you get the gist of what I'm saying. I think that, and Mary Fran, you said it about social media, and I think that that is part of it.
Yeah.
But I think we have to remember to allow ourselves to have some grace and be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? So what if I'm not as good as that person? I'm good. I am pretty in my own way. I am kind, and that makes me a good person. Like, you have to find those identifiers of self to then be able to let yourself be the person you're supposed to be with the honesty and integrity that is within you.
Yeah, what's that expression? Because God didn't make no junk.
Right. God, somebody tweet that.
There's something in you that's worthwhile.
Well, and Kristen said it too earlier. She talked about her faith, and I think that's a big component too. I think when you have something to believe in, it allows you to believe that you're worthy. And we are, at the end of the day, we are all worthy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, anybody who's looking
laughing
at this live, I just went to Wayne's World. We're not worthy.
What is happening here?
I don't know.
We've lost our darn minds.
It's not the first time, and it won't be the last.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, you just went on a wild ride for 30 seconds, and now we're going to put the seatbelts back on. And get
put
back
the roll bar
it.
Down. You just don't know where it's going to go.
Kathy, you looked like you had something to say before Mary Fran went off into Wayne's World.
No, I was actually doing the Wayne's World thing. I don't know if anybody saw that, but I went to the same place.
Where were we? I had something brilliant that was really going to stop traffic, and I completely lost it. No, I'm just kidding. Where were we? Let's get back on track here.
We were talking about being
not
honest
being worthy.
And not being worthy. And that's very true.
Oh, I knew what I was going to say. I
Please
was
say
gonna
it.
Say that in my latest crisis of life, you know, I've learned to, what's the expression? Find the message in the mess.
Yes. Right?
So in terms of getting out of this victim and these lies we tell ourselves, because people might be sitting there going, okay, well, I have all this stuff I've told myself all these years. How do I snap out of it? Right.
Right.
One of the things I did was having to really go through the rumble, like Brené says, and I started doing affirmations, not to get fluffy, but affirmations of my life is nowhere near what I want it to be. So I'm just going to every morning put it out in the universe. Really, I was convincing myself that I had everything that I was setting goals for that I wanted. And I just said it every day that I'm, you know, financially secure. My kids are doing just fine. And there were mornings where I was like, you liar, you liar. But I did a lot of research on that stuff, on why does that work? Because you really do have to reset your brain from the goofy stuff you've been telling yourself. And it honest to God, it worked for me. I mean, is my life perfectly the way I want it? No. Do I have any patience with that? No.
I'm you learning. Have no patience?
I know.
I'm learning. No,
I have to go back and read The Road Less Traveled and get back on delaying gratification, you know, and taking care of stuff. But But I think there's a lot to be said for how you go into, that's one way I guess I can share, that reset your inner thoughts by creating new statements of what you really do want your life to be. And start there.
If you're going to tell yourself a lie, make it a good one.
Yay! You heard it here first from Mary Fran Bontempo.
Another brilliant thought.
Should we wrap this up, ladies?
On
that note, yes. I think Mary Fran is just going downhill.
Yeah, let's add some more. All right, I'll begin the wrap up with something brilliant. Sure. Now, this is actually, I found this from, not to go off on a wild tangent, but I will, one of my favorite authors as a kid, S.E. Hinton. Remember her with The Outsiders?
Yes.
Everybody read that book, right? That.
Of course. Saw the movie.
S.E. Hinton says, "I lie to myself all the time, but I don't believe me." I think that's a good one when you're telling yourself a crummy story. Don't believe yourself.
It's a very good one. I love that.
Oh, how about don't believe yourself, but believe in yourself?
I like that.
Boom, 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 boom. Mic drop.
No, don't drop it. We'll have audio problems.
Yeah, there we go. I won't. I'll hold it.
So maybe make sure you have somebody who's going to tell you you're a liar. If you have somebody that you tell your story to, that's another thing Brené Brown says. Tell your story, because lies can't live when you tell your story.
Very good. Oh, Robin. We lost Robin.
We lost your.
Oh no.
We
could see her.
There we go. Okay.
You're probably back now, folks.
And she's back.
Are you back?
I moved.
Now we lost her again.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Okay. Robin, we'll tweet something from Robin. We'll put it in the show notes, and then you'll know what her brilliance bomb is here.
So make sure you tune in.
Yeah. Speaking of tweeting, make sure you get over to That Social Thing and chat with us on all of our social platforms that we're on. And if you like this episode, please leave us a review on iTunes, because your reviews get our message shared out there with more people. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll chat with you next time.
Thanks for listening to our chicks. Want to learn how to create your own chick chat? Head to our website, chickschatting.com. Be sure to join our chats on That Social Thing, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.